first 8 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Solomon writes these words: "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low, they are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along in desire's fields, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the well broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity." Let's bow our heads in a moment of prayer before we open up God's word. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening with fear and trembling in our hearts after what we heard this morning of how mighty a God that you are. Dear Lord, we stand here as a mere man ready to open up your word, and we pray that it would come forth with your power and with your authority. Dear Lord, may you be glorified in all that is said. Dear Lord, may even salvation come to this house as we particularly speak to these young people in our congregation. Dear Lord, if it pleased you tonight, dear Lord, save a soul. Have a young person or even an older person come and confess their sins to you. And dear Lord, may we rejoice just as the angels would in heaven that another soul has come into your kingdom. Dear Lord, help us in all that we do now. May we say with these things with clarity. May we be able to, may the congregation be able to understand it. And dear Lord, most of all, may your name be glorified in all these things, for we ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen. There was a statue in ancient Greece. We were learning about statues and things this morning, but this is a different one. There was a statue in ancient Greece, and it had wings upon its feet. His head was shaven apart from a long beard at the front. And this statue had three significant questions. The first one was, what is your name? My name is Opportunity. Second question is, why do you have wings upon your feet? Because I run so swiftly past. And thirdly, why do you have a lock of hair on your front and bald at the back? And the answer to that is, because men must lay hold of me as I approach, because they cannot lay hold of me once I am gone. This statue illustrates what tonight I want to open up from God's word. It's the kind of truth that we read off in the book of Ephesians when Paul writes that we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. And when we understand what Paul is writing there, we need to buy up these opportunities with everything that we have. Those of you who come here on a regular basis will know that this is indeed only the second time I have stood here to preach to you. And perhaps you'll wonder, how do we choose what do we preach? Well, those of you who know me and those of you who are in my Sunday school class will know that a few weeks ago we got to a pretty heavy subject and I started to cry in front of my classmates. It was very embarrassing for me, but it was good for them to see that I have a love for the youth in our church. I know there's a dear brother at the back who's the same, but this evening I want to speak mainly to the youth. Now, it doesn't mean youth as an age. If you're youthful in heart, it goes for you too. So those of you who are grey-haired and older, please don't use this as an excuse to catch up on some sleep. or the tone of my voice would put you to sleep, but listen, and listen attentively. Tonight I want to remember in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1 when it says, "Remember now the Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them." The challenge given by the writer of Ecclesiastes is for the youth of not only his generation, but for ours too. And it needs to be sounded in the generations to come. And how can that happen unless young people come to Christ? And so my aim this evening is to ask three very simple questions. Steve Meister will be very happy. They all begin with W. Very simple. First one is, what does it mean to remember your Creator? Secondly, when should you remember your Creator? And thirdly, why should you remember your Creator in your youth? So first of all, what does it mean to remember your Creator? As I've said, those of us who stand up here on a regular basis, we do need to go and give you a bit of background about who this man was who wrote the book. His name was Solomon. He was David's son. Many of you from Sunday school or family worship will know that he was indeed the king of Israel. He, through the blessing of God, had built up a mighty kingdom. He was full of glory, full of riches and blessing. He was known to be the wisest of kings and the richest of men. He had it all. The Bible tells us at a young age he gave his heart to wisdom and understanding. He studied the ways of God, he studied the ways of man, and he even studied the ways of the simple ant through creation. The Bible then goes on to tell us that when he was an older man, he had a very different outlook. He says now when he's old, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He looks at things in his life and he says that they are empty and of no purpose. But you might say to me, you young people tonight, Merv, what has that got to do with me? Why do I need to learn from this man? Well, the Bible is very clear. We need to learn from his word. The Bible tells us that this man had gone into deep sin. He'd taken many wives. He had over 1,000 wives, and there are many problems with that. But one of the main ones was that these women had many gods. And when he loved these women, sadly, he began to love their gods also. The very man who had built a temple for God now began to build temples for gods, not the one true God. Well, thankfully, he was confronted in this sin, and he seems to have forsaken his sin, but the damage has been done. And now that he's come to his senses, he realizes that his life was vanity. Really, what was it for? He views things and he looks at life a lot more sharper now. And in the 12 chapters of Ecclesiastes, he keeps repeating, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, or he uses the word vapor. Now imagine yourself. You live in a very small house. Things are always breaking. The roof leaks. This is maybe more Northern Ireland than it is USA, but the roof always leaks. You don't have enough food. The car's always breaking down. And you think to yourself, well, maybe next month I can fix it. And you go to your friend's house, and they seem to have it all. They live in 10 acres of land. They have a huge house. They have the best of cars. They have the nicest of things. And you look at that and you wish in your heart, man, I want that so bad. Well, tonight, listen to Solomon. Solomon had the best things that this world can offer. He had the fastest camel. He had the biggest dinners. He had the hugest parties. He had the fanciest guests. He had the nicest of clothes. And what does he say? Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. He looks at his huge throne and he says, vanity. He goes to his massive vault with all his money and he says, man, this is vain. He goes into his bedroom and he sees that bed where he'd been with thousands of different women and he doesn't say, well, there was pleasure in that. No. He says, vanity of vanities. All is vanities. He realizes that his eyes don't work just like they used to. His teeth are starting to fall out and his body isn't able to do the things that he used to. He can't enjoy his sleep anymore. The sound of a bird wakes him up and he's not able to get back to sleep. And he thinks to himself, you know what? I'm just like that poor beggar out on the street. The minute I die, we're equal. On the day that both of us are alike, because death has come to us all, we're both returning to that from where we came, the dust. So what is it tonight that Solomon wants us to learn here at IBC tonight? Well, here is an older man wanting to speak to younger people. And I know for a lot of you young people, you don't really like to hear from us all that much. It's funny, when you sit down in there, you can see people sleeping. It's worse when you stand up here, you can see a lot more. So that's a warning, I can see what's happening. But you've got a fiery Scotchman who likes to stand here and give it all he's got. You've got a man who looks cool and always has the same first letter for his points. You have older men who stand up here, like our brother Chuck and Paul, and they give everything they have. And hey, you've even this Irish man who, poor Mr. Calibret, I can't understand. But you think, man, I wish that guy up there would hurry up. Well, let me say to you, to those of you who are young, we too have been your age. But you know what? You've not been ours. You haven't been the age I have or some of these older people. And so tonight I'm going to ask you that you would give me the benefit of the doubt and understand that we know what we're talking about. Solomon is telling us here to learn from his mistakes. I don't want you, any of you young people, to go to the end of your life and look back and say, what was it all for? When you're 80 years old and your deathbed and you think vanity of vanities, other members will enjoy the things that you have built up. I can remember very clearly back in Northern Ireland when my grandmother died. It's funny. She built her life for things here. She was a believer, but she had things. We took her body to the grave and we lowered her in there. We went back to the church hall and had tea, as is the custom. And then for the next 2 days, we sorted through her house and pulled out all her clothes and all her different things. We put them in the black bags. We give them to thrift stores. You see, what are all these things for? They're vain, young people. You need to, in these days, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Now, it's not the remembering. If I was to ask you, and these two at the front aren't allowed to give the answer, but if I was to ask you who King Billy was for us as Northern Irish people, you'd go, who? That's a question I'll leave with you. Go and figure it out. But, or you may remember when your basketball team got to the series final, or when your baseball team got to wherever. Or you may even remember the last time your poor old soccer team actually won something. It's a long time, for me anyway. But when Solomon says, remember your Creator, he's not saying that, oh, you've forgotten who God is. No, he's saying, do you love God the way you're supposed to? He's saying these things that you would shape your life, that you would remember God as He is your Savior and Lord. Say one of you young people in the next few months are heading off to college in another state and you're going to study, I don't know, aeronautical engineering, that's what I did. And your father and mother know that it's a mixed dorm that you're going to. It's loose living, there's lots of drugs and partying, and first of all, your parents shouldn't be standing there, but no matter. Your father and mother take you there, they drop you off, and as you leave, your mother whispers in your ear, remember your father. She's not saying to you, remember you have a dad, that's kind of obvious. What she's saying is, don't go against him. Remember the things he's taught you. Don't bring shame to his name. Well, to remember your Creator is to live with the reality that you have been made by God. And there is a real and an active living God who is holy. We learnt that this morning. After Steve preached, I kind of went, why on earth am I preaching after that? Oh man. It wasn't the fear of man, but it was the fear of God. And I hope that each of you sitting here tonight know that you are a created being. That God created all things. He created the world in 6 days and He rested the seventh. I want you to remember that you are a created young person. One of the first things I'm sure you were taught through the wonderful catechism is, who made you? God made me. Why do we do that? Why is it so important? Well, it's because it's fundamental. We need to remember that God made us. You see, the world that we live in today, we need to tell our kids that God made us. We ain't from no monkey. We ain't from no pond. We were created by a holy God. And God molded you and formed you in your mother's womb. Young people, you should not go through life, whether you're 5, 11, 17, 25, and think that there's not a God. There is. And He's here tonight. Just like you heard this morning, there's no barriers, there's no boundaries. God is everywhere. You're not to live your life as God has not spoken to you. You're not to live your life as if God will not bring you into an account. You're not to go through your life thinking, I have no soul, that thing they talk about, I don't have one of those, I can't see it or touch it or feel it. No. This great God has even told you what He is like. Think of this morning. Think of that great and glorious God that we have. Our God is the only God who's given us His Word. Our God is the only God who is living. You see, to remember your Creator says that He is everywhere. So young person, the next time you think of doing something wrong, remember your Creator. This God knows all things. He can do all of His holy will wherever He wants. He can hear your prayers if you would come and confess your sins to Him tonight. You can talk with Him and He will hear and He will answer you. That's part of what it's like to remember your Creator. I would pray that we, and I myself, would live our lives with more than what we can taste and touch and feel and smell. It's more than what so often we fill our lives with, is it not? Music, entertainment, relationships. I'm to remember in this world that I am a special created creation of a holy, living, active, prayer-hearing God, inspired, Bible-speaking Creator, and that He made me. And He made you. So, what does it mean to remember your Creator? God created you. Secondly, when are you to do this remembering? When should you begin to live this way? Now, I have a lot of friends here, young people in this church, and I hope after I say these things that you'll still be my friend. But when we're young, it's not really a great time of seriousness. Okay? Even when someone my age acts like a goofball, people will say he's acting like an adult. Wrong. They'll say he's acting like a child. Then they may say, act your age, not your shoe size, or grow up, or something to that degree. Some of you older folk may look back on your old, on your younger days, and that might be sad. For others, we may love to think back to our childhood days, but if we're honest, we would say that when we're young, we're not really all that wise. We did act a little goofy. After all, even when my son Hoban does something wrong, my parents will often remind me, oh, he's only a cub, as we say in Northern Ireland. He's just acting his age, which for me is a good reminder. He is only young. But some of you young people have the opinion that you will never grow old. That the things that you love to do now, that running around, jumping, having all the fun that you have, you won't have any wrinkles. You're not going to have to rub ointment on your back after you play a game of basketball. You're not going to have to strap yourself up before you play any sports. You're having fun and you're enjoying yourself. Well, those of you who know me know I am no killjoy, but we're all getting old. We're older today than we were yesterday. And that's why today is the day that you remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Some of you will think, I'm only 15, 16, 3 to 20, whatever, and I've all my life ahead of me. And I'll think of God when I'm older. Because I'm having fun. But the Word of God over and over and over again speaks of youth. And sadly, when some sins are embraced, the Bible talks about the sins of our youth. And that's why the psalmist writes in Psalm 119, how can a young man cleanse his way? He knows that it's hard. It's a hard time for our young teenagers. A few weeks ago, we had that sermon on purity. It's hard. The things that we embrace now in our youth are very difficult to give up when we're older. Ask anyone who's started to smoke at a young age. I work with a man. He's trying to give it up. It's difficult. These things are hard. And these are only some of the things. In Job 21 verse 11, it shows like a party scene. And the verses say this. They send out their little boys like a flock and their children dance. They sing to the tambourine and the lyre and rejoice to the sound of the pipe. They spend their days in prosperity and in peace they go to Sheol. They're having a good time. They're dancing. They're singing. They're rejoicing to the sound of the pipe. They're being prosperous. But then they die. Soon the days are over. And to the grave they go. And they say to God, "Depart from us. We do not desire the knowledge of your ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit do we get if we pray to him?" Everything. I'm 17 or 18. I'm having fun. I don't need this God stuff. That's for old fuddy-duddies. Well, listen to the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, and he says sarcastically, "Go ahead, do all these things. Be with whoever you want. Drink as much as you want. Be merry. Watch whatever you like to on TV or on your computer. Oh, but by the way, God will judge you. Remember your Creator. How long are you going to be a young person or a teenager? It's not that long. Technically, it's only 6 years. I can remember being 14, and that's 20 years ago, even though you might not think it is, it's 20 years. And I can remember being a young person. But let me tell you, as I've grown older, and I look back at my life, it is vanity. We're to remember our Creator now. Not tomorrow, not next week or the year after, now. If you'll only give me 2 minutes of your time, listen now. I can remember sitting in not a red seat, but a blue seat in a front row just over there. And a little Scottish man who's sitting right over there preached a sermon. And he was looking straight down, but honestly I thought he was looking right at me. And he said to everyone, but mainly to me, "If you went home today and you choked and you died and you and no one knew how to help you, where would your soul be? Where would yours be? Where is yours going? Would you be able to go to heaven and go up to Solomon and say, 'Solomon, thank you. I remembered in my youth that I have a wonderful Savior and God who is my Creator.' Or would you go to hell with the words ringing in your ear that now, tonight, today is the day of salvation?" C.H. Spurgeon wrote that when he was 15, he said that Christ had died for his sins and that he was baptized and added to the church, and nothing gave him more joy than hearing that other young people had come to Christ. And he says that it was the best days of his life. And he wanted every young person to feel the joy and the love of Christ that he felt, and as many of us here tonight feel. Young person, does the life of being a Christian sound like one of drudge and dread? No. It may look that way because some of us are long of the mouth and sad and depressed, and the trials of life have come upon us. But we're dealing with sin in our life. We should have joyful smiles knowing that we have a great God, but the world takes over us at times and we can look that way. But think of some of the young people we see hanging around our shopping malls or our street corners, and they're sitting there with their beer and they're listening to that drudgeful music, and half the time you don't have a clue what the words are, and they kind of look like death warmed up. And I know for us, we've went over and back home and we've tried to tell them of Christ, and they look at you and say, "Yeah, we're having a good time." Well, you wouldn't know what to look at them. How many of you here, young people, have ever been to a nursing home or an old people's home? How many of you when you're there think, oh, this is a fun place. This is a great place for a pick-me-up. It's not, but it's where we're going. I'm up here tonight still able to do fun things with my kids. I'm able to move house with a twisted back tonight, but that's okay. I'm able to go for date nights with my beloved. I'm able to go for walks. I'm still able to taste wonderful food. I'm able to do things for myself, but young people, it isn't long before these things are gone. And sadly, you look at these people in the old people's home, and not so long ago, they were just like me, springing about, falling in love, getting married, raising kids. But now their bodies are old, their faces wrinkled, they're warped with pains, the bed is their comfort, and they don't like to be with anyone. And the years have drawn in, and there's no delight in them. Young people, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Now, I don't want to tar everyone who is older with the same brush. I did tell Chuck beforehand that I was going to mention him in the service, but we have Chuck who can outrun me, which isn't a lot. But even this dear saint, he's dealing with physical problems. See how swiftly these days are coming. And believe me, young person, they are coming. The Bible tells us that there is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And if you have not remembered your Creator now, today, when will you? Tomorrow? The day after? Will you play fast and loose with your never-dying soul? Will you say to yourself tonight, ach, no more of this. I just want one more day of sin. One more day with God, without God. One more day. Let me tonight tell you that you may not have one more day. Today could be your day in God's calendar. And how do you stand before God? J.C. Ryle, that bishop we all love to read, says this: do not think you can willfully serve yourself and your pleasure in the beginning of life and then at the end serve God with ease. It is a mockery to deal with God and your soul in such a fashion. It's an awful mockery to suppose you can give the power of your strength to the world and the devil and then put off the King of Kings with the scraps and leftovers of your heart. What he's saying there is, I'm going to give 99% of my life to me. Me, me, me. And the last 1%, well, I'll give it to God at the end. Dear young person, tonight your 100% could be up. You may not have that 1% to play fast and loose with. Your egg timer might be at the last few grains of sand. This might be the last time you sit under the Word of God. Will you really give the cream of your life to the devil? Will you give that soiled milk to the Lord? Young people and older people, give your life to the Lord now. Thirdly, why? Why do we do these things? Why do we do it when we're young? The Bible clearly tells us in Ecclesiastes 12, it's before the difficult days come. Or when the evil days come or the bad days. I can remember back home in many a prayer meeting, my father would pray, who was a man who wasn't saved until he was later in life, that he would pray that the young people would come to life or come to Christ before the world got a hold of it and you were put through the dirty cisterns of the world. You see, difficult days are coming. Hard days are here. Pain and misery is coming to us all. See, he gives us a list here of many different things. And I'll just read them. It says the keepers of the house. Look at an older person. See how their hands are old and they tremble. Strong men. I thought I was strong till yesterday when I went to lift a fridge freezer by myself and realized, nope, not strong anymore. But I remember when I was 20, I could have manhandled that thing by myself. But I'm getting old. See, when our old legs get sore and our knees don't work like they used to and they creak, and our shoulders are weakened, and we begin to start bending over. Or when he talks about the grinders, talking about our teeth, they begin to fall out. Or windows where our eyes begin to fail us, and we can't see as well as we used to. Or the shutting of the doors when we close ourselves off because we think we've nothing in common with these young people. Or we rise up because we can't sleep as well as we did before. Music. Our hearing begins to fail us and we start to, huh? What? And we even shout in our own conversations. When we're older, we get afraid that we're going to fall and hurt ourselves. The good old almond tree. The good old grey hair. Or even the hair begins to fall out. The grasshopper. We drag ourselves around. Desire. We lose our appetite for food. And even for life itself. We long for home. When we're old, we long to die. But that longing should only be longed for if you're a believer in Christ. See, the reality, young person, is that these days are coming swiftly. David writes in Psalm 39, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths. Young person, your life, it's like that. Short. Someone once said that if you go to a gravesite and you look at it and it says born in, I don't know, 1900 and died in the year 2000, and that little dash in the middle, that tiny, teeny little dash, that's your life. Nothing more than a vapor. Every man as his best is like a vapor. Children, do me a favor tonight when you go home. Have your mum or your dad boil the kettle, if you've got one. If you're British like me, you've a kettle because you need your tea. But boil the kettle. Watch it. Look at it. See the steam begin to rise. And hold on to it. Grab it. Keep it. Bring it and show me next Sunday. See, you can't. And that is what your life is like. It's here today and gone tomorrow. It lasts for no length of time at all. People are like shadows walking about. They busy themselves in vain. They heap up riches and do not know who will gather them. We have a joke in our house. It's not really a joke, but everything that you have ultimately is going to burn. When the Lord returns, everything in this world will be burnt. Perhaps some person will come up to me tonight at the end, and at this point I must interact and say, don't come to me. Go downstairs, go to that youth meeting tonight, and ask people, talk to people, open up. If you don't like talking to your parents, go to someone else. Come and see me, come and see Max, come and see whoever. But don't leave it too late. But some person might come to me tonight and I'll ask them, hey, what are you doing with your life? And they may answer it this way. Well, Merv, I'm going to go to college. And then what? Then I'm going to going to graduate from school. And then what? Then I'm going to get a really good job and get loads of money. And then what? Well, then I'm going to get married. And then what? Then I'm going to have children. And then what? Well, then I'll have grandchildren, hopefully. And then what? Well, then I'll get to that age and I'll retire. And then what? Well, then I guess I'll die. And then what? What then? What will become of you when you reach that older age and you've never remembered your Creator? What will happen to you as evil days come? Young people, we who are your parents try to shield you from the things of the world and harsh things. Even though you think we're fuddy-duddies and we're old and we don't really know what we're talking about and you kick against us, ultimately we do want you to have a happy life. But this world that we all live in is cursed. It's got pain, but more importantly, it's got sin. Young person, how are you going to face up to the things of this world without remembering your Creator in your youth? What will happen if you fill your life with vanity? Remember, Solomon, this man, had the best of everything. He had the best car. He had the best house. He had all the women that he wanted. He was the wisest man. He had the most money. And he gets to the end of the life, at the end of his life, and he says, "What's it all for?" That's not how I want to get to the end of my life. I want to get to the end of my life having the joy and the knowledge that I walked with the Lord and that my life was for something. Thankfully, our Bibles are full of examples of young people who give their lives to God early in life. Sunday school lesson number one, David and Goliath. David was standing in the valley with that huge giant. It's like me when I stand beside Todd, it's like, hello. Okay, he was even bigger than that. And all the armies were all around him. And David says to Goliath, "You come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." Who are you going to come in? Yourself? An angel comes to a young girl called Mary, and she's told that she is going to be the one that is going to carry and raise the Savior of this world. And her response, "Let it be done." She had faith in God. Where is your faith? Samuel, Josiah, young people, these are just some of the people who give their life to God early. Do you honestly think when Samuel got to the end of his life and he looked back, he thought, "Man, what a waste"? No. The only regret that they have, and for me too, is that we didn't come to Christ sooner. Dear young person, this Christian life is no easy way at all. It's not what other people say it is, where it's all whistles and bells. It's hard. Look at some of the people around here. We've got pains. We've got aches. We deal with difficult things every day. We even have to deal with each other. But you know what? We have a Savior who we can run to and we can cling to and we can cry out to you, and He is our ever help. Who is your help? If you're thinking, "Well, if I become a Christian tonight, my friends are going to make fun of me. I'll have to break up with perhaps a girlfriend or a boyfriend. I won't be able to do the things my friends are doing with me. They'll call me weird and rude names." Who cares? What does it matter? There's so many people in this room tonight who have done the thing that you should do. And that's come to Christ. We've had friends who've turned their back on us and wanted nothing more to do with us. They were never your friend in the first place. Those of you young people, do you really think when I became a Christian and I had to sever ties with some people that it really mattered? Yeah, it was sad and it hurt. But God was always there for me. I could cry out to Him. He even brought me to this church. Where each Lord's Day we can come and we can encourage one another. That we can hear a sermon like we did this morning and we make our God this size when really we can't even imagine. Through the week you get the odd text to say, well, how's it going? What are you reading? How's your prayer life? That is what you young people can look forward to. And you people who are members in this church, be looking out for these young people. If you put your faith in Christ tonight, you will get to know your God. You will get to read His holy word. You get to become a part of a church like this, where we love one another. Yeah, we have our difficulties, but we love one another. We've pastors who teach us the whole counsel of God, who are faithful each week. Young person, that's what it's like to remember your Creator. The evil days are coming. And as I was sitting there listening to Joe, I did look out over the congregation, and we have a lot of young people. And sadly, when we sing, some people put their head down and they don't open their mouths. But tonight, young person, what hinders you from remembering your Creator? What stops you from coming to Christ tonight? Is it your friends who you're sitting beside? What does it matter? Come to God. Tonight, young person, before you put your head on the pillow, ask yourself one very simple question. If God was to take the breath from my body tonight, where would my soul be? You've only got two answers. It's either heaven or it's hell. That's not a question that anyone else can answer apart from yourself. But to those of us who are members here at IBC, what does this sermon mean for us? It means that we need to be more in prayer for our young people. This week, as I prepared this sermon, it was one of the hardest weeks. Work was difficult. We were very busy. We moved house. My parents both aren't well back home. But God was a help and an aid and a comfort. And if you put your faith in Christ tonight, He can be that for you too. But don't do it just for the sake of getting a tick or a pat on the back. Do it because you put your faith in Christ. For many years, as a young teenager, I lived a life of doubleness. I would come to Christ or come to church, and my parents, thanks be to God that they were faithful, said that I had no fruit in my life. Us members here get to know our young people, get to know them intimately, get to know them the way that we should. We're to love our young people. The work that goes on downstairs every 2 weeks, we should be praying for that all the time. We should be praying constantly for the salvation of our young people. I know as a Sunday school teacher, it is a privilege to teach our young people, but it's also a scary thing. Each Sunday we bring them the Word of God, and we have to give an account of what we teach them. So pray for your Sunday school teachers. And lastly, pray for your pastors. When I heard that sermon this morning, I've already said it, but I looked to my wife and I said, let's go home. We've moved house. No one will know where we live. They won't be able to find me. I can hide. But then dear saints would come up behind and pat you on the back and say, we're praying for you.
That's what it's all about. Pray for your pastors. They have a difficult job, a hard job. I wouldn't want to be the pastor over some of you motley crew, but they do. And by God's grace, they serve as best they can. So young people, as we close, don't put these things out of your mind. I pray that some of you young boys down in the back, you maybe haven't listened an awful lot. Some of you younger people who've perhaps coloured or drawed, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, because they're here. They've already come. You teenagers, come and speak to us. Members, pray and be diligent. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we leave these things before you. We do pray that these words that have come forth, that you, dear Lord, would do a dealing with these young people. That you would take the scales from their eyes and the deafness from their ears, and that you would give them a new heart. Dear Lord, may we rejoice tonight to know that salvation has come upon this house, young or old. Dear Lord, do a mighty dealing in this church. Save our young people, that this church could go on for many generations and proclaim your truth. We do pray that these young people would think long and hard of where their soul truly will end, that they would be honest with themselves, because you're a God who knows everything. You cannot be fooled or tricked. Dear Lord, do a dealing with them. For us members, help us to be faithful. Help us to pray for these young people. These are difficult days. They're hard days. We have been through them. We know what they're like. Dear Lord, go before them and help them. For those who are believers, for those young people who do confess your name, build them up, encourage them. Be unto them all that you can be. Dear Lord, part us now with your blessing and take us to our homes in safety. For we ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.